John chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around his head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. And over to verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord.
1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 8. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born."
Father God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray that you would encourage our hearts with the wonderful news that Jesus is risen this morning, that good news would inspire us to serve out of gratitude for what you have done, and that your Spirit would be changing us to be more and more like your Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, it's really interesting to look back and reflect on how different our Easter celebrations this year look from what they looked like last year. Last year, we celebrated Easter in full lockdown. No one was allowed on the road except for essential travel. Public gatherings, including church services, were prohibited. Easter looked a lot different. Last year, many of us were only just getting a handle on the technology that we now deal with all the time, as we were forced to meet together on Zoom for Easter. Last year, I stood up here, as I am now, and spoke into an empty room while everybody was at home on Zoom. This year, our Easter celebrations sure do look a lot different. This year, we're able to hold public gatherings again. And even though there's a small gap between the seats, most things are basically back to normal. We can catch up over a cuppa during morning tea. We're even able to sing during the service, or at least enjoy somebody singing near you during the service. This year, how we meet together and worship our Saviour together is mostly back to normal. But last year, things were very different. When I first heard that there was a very infectious virus making its way through China, it never ever occurred to me, not even for a moment, that it would make such a big impact here. I certainly never would have ever thought that we would ever have to spend Easter on Zoom. The global pandemic has brought a lot of changes to our lives. And even though most of those changes have slowly been eased off now, most of the harsh restrictions that we had during our lockdown have gone away, the pandemic has actually changed our culture. There are some things that won't go away. Before COVID restrictions, only a few of us had ever even heard of Zoom, and most of us had never used it. But now live streaming our Sunday services is a part of what we do each week. And having access to the recordings on YouTube and iTunes, it's all becoming quite normal. It's just what we do. Before COVID restrictions, none of us would have ever thought twice about shaking hands. It's a part of our Australian culture, after all. But now, sometimes in some settings, it can feel as though we need to make sure the other person feels comfortable when we reach out our hand. A global pandemic is far from good news, and it has brought a lot of challenges and a lot of sadness to our world. But this morning we are here to celebrate good news. The good news that Jesus has risen from the grave, that he has defeated the power of sin and death for us. And this good news won't just change our lives for a time and then ease off. This good news changes everything forever. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. In John chapter 20, Peter and the other disciple, this is John's way of referring him to himself, the other disciple, have just received news from Mary Magdalene that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. Now, if we had just received this same news from Mary, I'm sure there'd be all sorts of questions going through our minds as we try and make sense of what she's just said, of what we've just heard. Did Mary mistakenly go to the wrong tomb? Was she confused or delirious because of her grief? Or did someone take Jesus' body from the tomb? But Peter and John didn't stand around pondering these questions for too long, because we're told that they both ran to the tomb to see this for themselves. Now, I think it's very interesting here that John almost boasts that he was the faster runner. He mentions he gets there first. He makes a point to mention it. I'm not sure what Peter would have to say about that. But as John gets to the tomb first, being the kind of guy he is, he just looks in. He sees the strips of linen lying there, but does not dare go in. He seems to have been stunned by what he's seeing. And maybe he wasn't quite ready to even confirm his suspicions. Maybe he was just adjusting his expectations. But Peter, on the other hand, well, when he caught up with John, the fast runner, he just bowled straight into the tomb. And he found the burial cloth with the strips of linen lying nearby. Peter was never one for keeping quiet when everyone else was. So you can just imagine him calling out to John, saying, "Get in here, you've got to see this for yourself." Once John had seen the burial clothes for himself, folded and sitting there with the linen strips nearby, he realized that what Mary had told them was true. And John tells us in verse 9 that even though they believed that the grave was now empty, they still didn't understand from the scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. That night, the disciples were hiding in a locked room. They had the room locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Their friend and savior, Jesus, had just been taken away and crucified. The trauma of seeing the palace guard come and arrest him, and hearing all of that went on, must have just had them in utter fear. But as they consoled each other in this locked room, Jesus came among them and said, "Peace be with you." His presence must have absolutely shocked them. It must have startled them. They're in a locked room after all. The presence of anyone other than who was there would have shocked them. But this was Jesus, the one that they had only just been crucified 3 days earlier. And now he was raised from the dead. They must have been in shock. And obviously they needed some convincing, because John tells us that Jesus showed them his hands and his side to prove that it really was him. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. There are many types of news in our lives that have a drastic effect on our lives from there on in. It could be those medical results that we've been waiting for. Could be the news of the birth of a baby, or finding out that an application that we've put in has been accepted or denied. Could be the news that someone near to us and dear to us has become engaged. Or it could be the sad news of the passing of a loved one. These things can have a profound impact on our lives. But no news is more life-changing than the news that Jesus has risen from the grave. Because this news doesn't just affect our lives now and into the short-term future, but this news will affect our lives into eternity. The Apostle Paul would write to the believers in Corinth, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." What the Apostle Paul is saying is that faith in the good news of Jesus, the good news that he has risen from the grave, is the core. It is at the very center of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, of what it means to be a Christian. It is the most important thing for us to believe in. This news is of first importance because this good news changes everything forever. How does it change everything forever? What impact should we be seeing in our lives? What should we be holding on to when it comes to this good news? And I'll give you four points. The good news that Jesus is risen changes everything forever because it proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he proved that Jesus has defeated the power and sin of sin and death for those who trust in him. It proves that Jesus is the Son of God the Father. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he says he is. The news that Jesus is risen changes everything forever because it provides those who trust in him with the gift of salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. At the cross, Jesus paid the debt that our sin and rebellion deserves. When God raised Jesus from the grave, he established the way of salvation. Jesus is the only way that anyone can be saved, because he is risen. As Jesus said to Mary in John chapter 11, verse 25 to 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. There is salvation from the guilt of our sin for all who believe, and it's because Jesus is risen. The good news that Jesus is risen changes everything forever, because it provides us with hope beyond the brokenness of this world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Into a new hope, a living hope. Because he is risen, there is hope. A living hope established through the resurrection. Death has been defeated. It has been reversed at the resurrection. And the certain hope of life forever with Christ awaits all who believe. And finally, the good news that Jesus is risen changes everything forever, because it reminds us that he is coming back again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 says, We believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says, If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. The good news that Jesus is risen reminds us that Jesus is coming back again, that this life isn't all there is, that the struggles of all of the things that we have to deal with in this broken world are not the end. The good news that Jesus has risen changes everything, because it proves who he is. It provides those who trust in him with salvation and hope, and it shows that he is coming back for us. And because this good news changes everything, we should also see it changing us as well, as we respond to this good news. So this morning, as we celebrate the good news that Jesus is risen, may we be encouraged to find our hope in this good news. May we trust in Jesus and the certain hope of salvation that his resurrection provides. And may our hearts be drawn to the one who, because of his love for us, defeated the power of sin and death on our behalf, and then 3 days later rose from the grave, changing everything forever. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we can so easily get caught up in our lives on this earth, that we can so easily get distracted by the temporal things that are going on around us, that we can so easily lose our sight of the cross. Lord, we pray this morning that you would remind us of the hope that the resurrection provides, a hope beyond the brokenness and sadness of this life. We pray that you'd help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and that you would make us more and more like your Son as we seek to serve for your glory because of what you have done through him. And we pray this in his name. Amen.